Nikita Koloff, the Russian nightmare, no, the devil's nightmare, here from It's Time to Man Up, challenging men to step into their true manhood. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening to the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network. Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into Kingdom Pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
Welcome to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And today we are lined up to have with us, he's not here with us yet, but he's going to be, I'm told, is Alex McFarland, who has got this big event coming up in Myrtle Beach. It's called The Worldview, A Battle We Must Win. It's Friday, October 15th. It's going to start at 6:30 p.m., and it's also on Saturday. So it's in Myrtle Beach. Worldview, A Battle We Must Win. And then also with us today in the studio, we have an old friend, has not seen him in a few years, but Steve Witten is with 40 Days for Life. What a wonderful cause that has been over the years, and I'm so excited you guys are doing that again. And so
thank you, Robbie.
Welcome, Steve.
Thank you very much. Very glad to be here.
And what a wonderful cause. And so when do you guys start this year?
11 days, September 22nd, runs through October 31st, in just about every abortion clinic around the country. There's over 500 gatherings for 40 Days for Life.
It's interesting you would end on Halloween.
In the past, actually, there's been times we've ended... I think what it is, it's the Sunday before Election Day.
Right.
That's kind of what happens, yeah.
So I've never known it.
No, you've got a good
point. It's interesting timing.
There. Yes.
Well, seeing as my birthday is October 30th.
Oh, very good. Okay.
So I hone in on those October dates.
Yes.
I'm like,
yes.
It's all fitting in. So, you know, Alex's event is Worldview Battle, right? So
okay.
Speaking of battle.
Right.
I know that you've... saw my show, and we do these riddles, so I've got to do this battle riddles, so get ready.
Okay.
You're about to be punished, whether you like it or not. So Sean, I know you're going to be glad to know, I finally started winning the battle of walking my dog. You know how I did that? I started dressing him in a tie. You don't understand? Well, see, that's so he could do his business.
I see. Very good. Very good. Well, you ought to go all the way and put a coat on him, too.
Yeah, and so I know a guy who's a baker in the Army, and, you know, he goes into battle with all buns a-glazing.
Very good.
Yeah. There.
Well, you know, Napoleon said they travel on their stomach. Remember that?
That's true. Yes. That's true. So here's a car one for you, which Alex would normally love if Alex was here, but so... You know, what is the classification of a Hyundai after it dies in battle?
Hyundai?
Well, that's good. I like that. That's
Was that
Sean,
it?
Sean, that's not it. But it's still really good. Well, it's sort of a Kia, because if you spell Kia, you'll get it. Killed in action. Oh, there you go.
So... I wasn't expecting this, I'll be honest.
You weren't, yeah. So, it's just part of Kingdom Pursuits. We're actually getting to our Bible riddle right now, which is, you know, we have so that you can call and win today. So, in what chapter of the Bible did the Amorites get a sunburn that never set? In what chapter of the Bible did the Amorites get a sunburn that never set and a moonburn that wasn't Amora? Even though they're Amorites, there's a little wordplay there with the Amorites and the Amora. But anyway, they got a sunburn that would never set, and they got a moonburn that wasn't Amora. If you can answer that, we've got some amazing stuff for you, right, Sean?
That's right. We got a nice, maybe some T-shirts, maybe some books from the Kingdom Pursuits Prize Vault. So call in, let us know what you think the answer is, and we'll get you your prize.
866-348-7884. All you got to tell us And I know it's jumping right out at you, Steve.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
sure.
What chapter in the Bible, the Amorites, they got a sunburn. Or you can just remember the story. I would be delighted to hear that. 866-348-7884. And so getting back to 40 Days for Life,
yes,
Steve,
sir.
When did you get involved?
Oh, years ago. I've been involved in pro-life stuff one way or another, golly, I would say since 1974, which is a rather sobering thought, really, because it's still going on. But, you know, Roe v. Wade in 1973, it just split the country. You got people on one hand where abortion in the first trimester is not enough. Oh, no, up to delivery time. And then you have the other side, which wishes it wasn't there at all. And I'm there. And so that is what 40 Days for Life is.
So, I mean,
about.
How did you find out about it?
My goodness, it's been so long, I don't remember. I think probably just personal friends told me about it. It started in 2007 in Texas, grown every year. You know, I like to clarify right off the bat that it's not a protest. A lot of people just think just because you're out there on the street that you're protesting, and there's place for protests. But 40 days, no yelling, no shouting, no arguing, no bullhorns, no jumping up and down. In fact, if you participate, you have to agree to the rules of civility. We don't block entrances. We don't block the driveways and stuff like that.
So how did you hear? I mean, how did you personally? I'm trying to get to that part of the story. Like,
I think just friends, and I thought to myself, yeah, this is really good. And I went down there one time many years ago, and I've been going ever since.
Can you take us back to that day? Like, what did they tell you when you got there?
Well, I knew I'd be holding this sign that says "Pray to End Abortion," and I knew I'd be across the street from a Planned Parenthood abortion clinic.
How did you know that?
That's where you meet, and that's where they sent.
Are they told you on the phone before you got there?
It's been so long ago, whether it was a phone or in person. I'm sure it was like-minded people said, hey, Steve, you know, you're pro-life, and this is 40 Days for Life. Come down and check it out. And I find it a very worthwhile thing. Lo and behold, every now and then, a woman on her way to the clinic will stop and talk with us and change her mind, and that's wonderful. And we call it a save, okay? We call it a save.
Well, can you take us to one of those stories, the actual story?
I can. It was in October, I think 2017. Now, the layout at this particular Planned Parenthood was that it's built kind of on a hill in the lower portion. Is where the clinic is, and the upper portion at the time, other businesses were there. And what's interesting about it is people would park there to go to Planned Parenthood, only they didn't want you to. And I was across the street with my sign, and I happened to notice this woman was sitting in her car. She had the front door open. It was a Saturday, so there weren't other cars there, and she was actually vomiting. She had the door open and was just heaving. And I thought to myself, okay, it's kind of like now or never. And I said, Lord, here we go. And I crossed the street and I approached her. I said something so I wouldn't startle her. And she turned to me and these are her first words. She says, I can't carry this baby. Just really just saying, I can't carry this baby. Well, she had been in the clinic and I guess got sick and came out. And I carry a card with me referencing the local pregnancy care center. And I simply said to her, you know, you don't have to do this today. And I said, this place here, I'm giving you this card. They deal with people like you, work with you all the time. Okay. And I gave it to her, and suddenly I realized, you know, with small cell phones, that she was on the phone. She called him up right there while I'm standing there. And I'm sure I said some other things, but anyway, but I left her alone, just private there, and went back across the street. And many minutes later, she had composed herself, and she left. And I actually don't know in this particular case if she ever came back, but words of encouragement. And, you know, the pregnancy centers, as a result of Roe v. Wade, there's something like 3,000 of them in the United States of America. They just sprung up, and they do wonderful work, and I pray she went there.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. Well, wonderful. Well, we've got Steve Witten, 40 Days for Life. It's cranking up in the Winston-Salem area, which all you have to do is go to 40 Days for Life and find out. We're going to, you know, how you
I'll
can
give
volunteer.
You the website next time. Yeah, it's across the country.
Yeah, so we'll be right back. We've got God in Hollywood coming up in the last segment today, and Alex McFarland should be with us.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And today we are talking about Alex McFarland's worldview, a battle we must win, for coming up Friday, October 15th at 6:30 p.m. It's in Myrtle Beach. And again, you can go to alexmcfarland.com, find out all about that, as well as Steve Witten with 40 Days for Life in Winston-Salem. And Steve, what's the website where they can find
Very
out
Very simple, Robbie. It's 40, the number 40, days for, F-O-R, life.com. 40daysforlife.com. I really urge you to look at it. You'll learn all about it. And you can also click on get the location of the abortion clinic near you. And you can join people there. Like I said, when you sign up, you're agreeing to the rules of behavior. And if you have never done this, I would really urge you to do it, because it will change things for you. You're going to see the abortion situation up close, and you will see women change their minds. And you will also invariably meet people who decided for life, are so happy they did. And the interesting thing, Robbie, is you will find in the pro-life movement a big, huge number of women who have had abortions. And they just realize how awful it was. They regret it, and they want to save other women from that terrible experience. They fall into the category called the post-abortive woman. And most of them that have abortions never forget it.
Well, I can assure you, I was tasked one time. I went to the Association of Christian Counselors, it's, I guess, world event or whatever that they had in Nashville. And one of those Association of Christian Counseling companies was the National Right to Life Hotline.
Right.
And, you know, for women to call when they had that situation. And so I had a chance to interview maybe two dozen of these ladies that handled these phone calls. And you could almost, in each case, I just started out the interview by saying, you know, God comforts us with the comfort that he's comforted others with. Right, you know, how does that work out in your life? Yeah. And they would each go into their story on how God had, you know, shown them through their own abortion, what a horror the situation was. But more importantly, in my view, the healing that he affords for those people who have had it. But again, they just don't want anybody else to go through what they went through.
Right.
And, you know, the same is true for men. So they have men counselors. And so with every pregnancy, as you might guess, there's a man involved as much as there is a woman.
Oh, most definitely. Men are kind of the forgotten group in all of this. The pro-aborts think he's got nothing, shouldn't be involved, doesn't understand it. Who are you? Can't even talk about it, okay? But the fact of the matter is the man's kind of on the short end of the stick sometime. Legally, courts have not given him any rights. You can have a situation where the woman wants the abortion, the father does not, and the man is lost in court. They say, too bad. And but then the other thing is that basically virtually every abortion, there's a man behind it, just pushing to have it done, be it the boyfriend, and tragically sometimes it's the girl's father. But the irony of all this, quote, choice stuff is that another thing, if you join us at 40 Days for Life and you meet some other people, in a very short period of time, you will hear an abortion testimony, and the woman will say, I felt I had no choice, which is very, very ironic, because she's just being pressured into this thing by usually a man or two.
Right. So have you got another one of those stories that you can remember, or something that you saw, maybe you weren't personally involved in, but
something that has stuck out with me for about 3 years now. I attended a conference and I heard this woman's testimony. She got got pregnant in college, had an abortion, and then 2 years later met a guy who she married, and 2 years after that they had their first child. And to show you the impact of all this, she gives birth, they bring the baby to her, and all she is thinking about is the abortion of 4 years ago and the baby that she gave up. Took her, she said, 2 weeks to fully bond properly with the newborn that she had here conceived with her husband. And it's just this lasting effect thing. And it just shows you that men's involvement that, you know, back when that happened, there's such a typical story. If you don't have this abortion, I'm leaving. And you have a lot of women who have gotten themselves into this cohabitation situation and they're sharing expenses with an apartment and they think, if this guy leaves, I can't do it on my own, et cetera, et cetera. And they just feel really, really stuck.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, wow. And it's kind of a neat thing from my perspective that mostly what you guys do is you pray.
It is called a prayer vigil. It's not a protest, okay? Like I say, no jumping up and down, bullhorns, et cetera. A prayer vigil, and the sign you hold says, pray to end abortion. And you can learn all this at 40daysforlife.com. And that's the beauty of it. I mean, most people don't like confrontation. Let's be honest about it. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that people driving by aren't going to throw certain gestures at you or something or other. But the majority of people that express themselves that are driving by are friendly honks and thumbs up. It's really wonderful.
Yeah, and you know, for those who've had a chance to see the movie Unplanned,
right? Fantastic movie, yes.
And it was all about a 40 Days for Life vigil.
It was,
that really made an impact in Texas.
Yes, it was rather low key as far as putting forward 40 days, but that's exactly who and what it was, this fellow named Sean Carney. And they were literally next door, the office, as you may recall, to the abortion clinic. And the wonderful story about that is that that very abortion facility is now housing the headquarters of 40 Days for Life.
Yeah, and the lady that was over...
Abby Johnson, that's correct. She's got a wonderful story. It is amazing. She had a couple abortions herself, continued to work for Planned Parenthood. But there came this day when she just, she had enough
because of the prayer. And the thing I love about the movie is it makes it so clear, right, that how are you going to change hearts, right? How are we going to change the hearts of this country? How are we going to change the hearts of a mom that's in this situation?
That's right.
You know, God is the one that's got...
That's right. That's right. That movie was very good because at the beginning it showed a, quote, protest kind of group, and they're calling out, you know, they're calling the women going in there murderers. And, of course, that gets you nowhere. And then 40 days came along, and she saw them every day, and they're just standing there, they're waving at her, hi, smiling, and they're praying. That's what it was. And you see, a rapport was established that when she finally had it, because as you may recall, she saw on the screen, she was asked, which she never was really, was asked to come into the abortion room to help out in some way. And she saw this baby, she saw the baby in the womb being sucked away by the evacuation machine.
Yeah, and what was even more horrific from my standpoint was the callous attitude of the doctor that was involved.
It was. The whole thing is very demeaning, dehumanizing, intrusive. This guy walks in with a mask having nothing to do with COVID. And, you know, and bing, bang, and out you go. And it's just this awful, empty feeling. And there can be physical ramifications. You don't hear about it much. Every now and then they got to call 911, bleeding, and all this kind of stuff. And they try and hide it from the public, you know, that EMT is called to an abortion clinic, but it does happen. So back to Sean Carney and Abby Johnson, there was this rapport. And when she had it, she realized what was going on. She showed up in his office next door. She had to talk to somebody.
Right. And so, you know, the thing I love about it is it puts a face on the whole idea of abortion. In other words, at this abortion clinic right here in Winston-Salem, there's a director.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman has an impact on lots of people's lives and what's going on. And that woman wants to serve God somewhere down in her heart. We all do, right? Mm-hmm. She has a God-sized hole down in there. And so what an opportunity we have to really pray for the enemy, so to speak. I mean, this is and when they did that with Abby Johnson, you know, what an impact it made for the kingdom.
Just probably more than you can measure. And, you know, she started this foundation or ministry, I guess, you know. There are lots of abortion workers that want to leave. They get to a point where they want to leave. But then, like everybody else, what am I going to do for income and this and that? And her ministry will actually, if they wanted to quit today, will cover her costs, kind of make up the gap of no more income for 2-3 months, whatever it is, help her get another job. It's really cool.
Yeah, and it, of course, she, you know, came full circle and understood it at a level that, you know, few people ever, but she was sued by Planned Parenthood, and she underwent a whole lot of struggle immediately, but you see how God, you know, can prevail in these things. And so,
I would urge people, even though it's, you know, 2-3 years later now, you can get that on DVD, Unplanned. It's very good. There's another one that didn't gain quite the notoriety, you know, budget constraints, and also it had a problem getting into some theaters, and that was the movie Gosnell. And that was about an abortionist up in Philadelphia. They just turned a blind eye to him for many years, and finally the authorities went in, and it was just a horrible, horrible place.
Yeah, yeah. And so again, it's 40 Days for Life, which is the number 40.
Right.
And Days for Life. And the neat thing is that right there, you can see where you put in your zip code, or you can put in the town.
That's correct. And you sign up for like a one-hour shift. You go down there. There's other people. You hold your sign, pray to end abortion. And that's exactly what you do. And in time, you will meet a woman who is struggling in all of this business, and you pray with her, and you direct her to the people that can help, and lo and behold, she does it, and you feel really, really good.
Yeah, well, you get to see God.
That's correct.
Which is the deal.
That's correct.
You know, any way we can possibly see him. Well, thank you for being with us, Steve.
My pleasure.
And when
thank
we come
you.
Back, we're going to be talking about God in Hollywood, and we got Amy Cabo with The Cure, so much more Kingdom Pursuits coming up.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And we got a whole bunch of God in Hollywood coming up for you. But first, we got Amy Cabo with The Cure, who's going to be on at 1 o'clock today. And speaking of life and that kind of thing, Amy, you guys have a big show coming up today.
Well, today we're going to emphasize on the sanctity of life, and we're blessed to have Alveda King to help us with that. I know that in life we are faced with many difficult decisions, but we're hoping that we choose life because it is a gift from God. It is a blessing, if not for ourselves, if we don't see it, then maybe for someone else. And God placed the little one in our womb for a reason. God doesn't make mistakes, as everything happens for a reason, and He is in control, and His will is perfect.
Oh, yeah, it is. And Amy, you know, obviously, or I shouldn't say obviously, for those who've read your book, you know, this is part of your story, and you've seen God come in, right? Love is the answer. God is the cure in this particular whole arena, isn't it?
Yes, because I'm not speaking from a place for someone who doesn't understand it. I've been through it. I know what abortion is like.
I know.
It's not from a judgmental place. It's from a compassionate place. It's just trying to offer charity.
That's beautiful. It absolutely is. So this ought to be a really wonderful show. It's live today at 1 o'clock on the Truth Network. And, of course, you can call in. They would love to have your calls. And so Boris is there. It's going to be a great show. Okay. Thank you, Amy. God bless. You guys have a great show today.
Thank you. God bless you, too.
Bye-bye. So I'm so excited to introduce a new segment for you guys today. We have God in Hollywood. And so sort of hosting this segment, we have Brad Silverman with Kappa Studios and the Christian Film Finishing Fund. So I'm just going to turn it over to you, Brad, and let's roll.
What's up, Robbie? How are you today, pal?
I am excited to hear this, actually.
You and me both. You and me both. Well, Robbie, you're just such a blessing, brother. And yeah, especially on a day like today, the 20th anniversary of 9/11, we have a it's great to talk about God in Hollywood. We have sort of a special guest with us today that we're going to meet in a minute. And just so your listeners know, anything we talk about today and everything we talked about today, you can find out more at kappastudios.com. And I'm sure it's on your website as well. But Kappa Studios, K-A-P-P-A, studios.com. You can check out our Christian Film Finishing Fund, and everyone can learn more about what we're talking about today. And so Robbie, I love the title of this segment. So for starters, everything that people think, that your listeners think about Hollywood, is probably pretty accurate. You know, Hollywood is what it is, but there is a remnant. Right, there are those of us in Hollywood who truly seek to honor Christ with our personal lives as well as our work. And I know you are, Robbie. You think your listeners are familiar with a show called The Chosen?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm personally, okay. I mean, I bet I've watched it, I don't know how many times. But, I mean, it is absolutely powerful. I hope my listeners are very familiar with it. It is a phenomenal thing, and I know you guys are a big part of the editing on that, right?
We are, yeah. The Kappa Studios, we're thrilled. We love that show. We're thrilled to be a part of The Chosen, and yeah, it's been such a fun ride for us. And what we're doing here, because of this remnant in Hollywood, and that's why we call this segment God in Hollywood. For those believers in Christ who are in Hollywood, we want to give your listeners an opportunity to partner with us to see more shows like The Chosen impact the culture. That's what we're here to talk about today, is how your listeners can partner with us to see more, just advance the kingdom through film and television. And we have our Christian Film Finishing Fund, and we're just starting, as part of our God in Hollywood thing, we're starting our Adopt a Filmmaker program. We got Paul Long, the head of Kappa Studios, with us as well. Paul, you want to take a minute and talk about what is the Adopt a Filmmaker program and how people can help see more product impact the culture for Christ?
Oh, hey. Hi, guys. How you doing? Robbie, how are you, man?
I am just thrilled again to have you guys back on. So.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, we appreciate it. We love being on your show, and we love everything you guys are doing. And all about the passion for Christ, I think, is certainly a perfect match. The Adoptive Filmmaker Program is something that's set up by us as we've recognized that filmmakers do sometimes get into trouble on faith and family films. And Brad used a term called partnering. And that's really what we're looking to do, is partner up with filmmakers that run out of money and wherewithal at the back end of their show. And there are a number of projects right now. We've got about 15 that we'd like to get out that are gospel and faith and family messages, shows that give hope and point people to God and the message of Christ. And so in that endeavor, we realize we need to adopt these filmmakers. We need to come alongside them, get behind them, and we're doing that now. But we wanted to open an opportunity for the public at large to get behind them and know their stories. If you've ever done anything with like World Impact and World Vision. Yeah, on World Vision, you adopt a child and you come into their life, you get into what they're doing, you support them, you pray for them, you wrap around them. And even though it's a world away, you're wrapping around them. So basically we thought, man, this is the same concept we really ought to be thinking about for filmmakers, because they're pretty discouraged at certain points going through this, and we can come alongside them with prayer and just support. That lets them get the job done, and then we get more things out in the culture. And with the chaos and the fear that's out in the world today, it's just so important to project more and more messages of faith and hope. And God has put us in the middle of this. We never looked for it. It wasn't our plan. It wasn't a business strategy. It's just the Lord just moved us in this direction, and as I've often said, it's the needful things. It's when you see something, just go do it. And that's what we started doing, and it's resulted in the Christian Film Finishing Fund and Adopt a Filmmaker.
Yeah, it's awesome, Paul. Yeah, and everyone can find out more. Go to Kappa, K-A-P-P-A, studios.com. Check out the Christian Film Finishing Fund on our page, and you'll see all the info on the details on Adopt a Filmmaker program. But today, Robbie, we're thrilled that with us we want to focus, we want to highlight one particular project that we want your listeners to just prayerfully consider getting behind and partnering with him to see this project get finished and impact and into the culture. And the guy with us today, a dear friend, brother in the Lord, his name's David Helling. And just a little background.
We love this guy. We love this guy.
Yeah, this guy's incredible. David is a former sergeant in the United States Marine Corps and an Iraqi war veteran. And David, you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here, Mr. Brad. I appreciate it.
Dude, David, man, on a day like today, it's just so, it's just, I've known you for a while. Love you, man. But it is just an honor to speak to you on a reflective day like today. So thanks for being with us, man.
I appreciate that. Well, it's an honor for me to be here with y'all, honestly.
Well, that's great. And thank you so much. I know you I hope you hear it a lot, but on behalf of all of us out there, thank you for your many years of active duty in the most dangerous spots of the world. Thank you for serving us, man. Thank you for serving this country.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Robin. So, thank you, Brad. Appreciate.
Yeah, so check this out, Robbie and everyone else. So David went from serving in the Marines to making movies. Now, we'll talk some other show about how he got from A to B, but right now we want to focus and let your listeners know about his brand new movie called His Only Son. David, tell us about that. Tell us about your movie, His Only Son.
Well, yeah, and, you know, a lot of, kind of going back a little bit, my time in Iraq was very pivotal in really everything I do. It was really a battleground in my own heart because the Lord was doing a work in me over there. He drew me into his word. He showed me the depths of my own sin, what repentance really meant, what his sacrifice and atoning work on the cross really meant. And since that time, my life's mission has sort of been to illustrate Scripture's truth through film so that others can see what I saw and so that others can be drawn to the word and have their eyes open to the truth of the gospel. So flash forward years and years later from Iraq,
David and Brad, David. I hate to jump in on you, but that music tells us that we got to go to a break. And so let me tell you again to go to Kappa Studios to find the Christian Film Finishing Fund. And again, David Helling's new movie, again, as you can partner with him, this is a really cool opportunity. So I hope you'll stay tuned as we hear more about this new upcoming film we can all partner with.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits / God in Hollywood today. As we hear how God is at work in Hollywood. How fun is that? When we left David Helling, our actual hero today, sharing this. Yeah, well, you are. In so many ways, anybody that steps forward for God, and especially in Hollywood, we're calling him a hero today for sure, David, as well as what you've done in service for us. But again, I hated to cut you off, but just start where you were as you're going to share the vision for this movie.
Yeah, so His Only Son is the name of the film. It's a feature-length film that I've written, directed, edited, and did the VFX. Yeah, I even sewed the costumes, actually. But it tells the account of Abraham and Isaac, and particularly when the Lord tested Abraham by asking him to sacrifice his son on Mount Moriah, which is actually one of the most controversial and scrutinized accounts in the Bible. But really, the film is a dual narrative of sorts. So on one hand, we watch Abraham take his son on this three-day journey to the place of sacrifice. And on the other hand, through flashback, we explore Abraham and Sarah's decades-long struggle to have Isaac, and particularly Sarah's heartache and her pain in the years and years and years of infertility as they were waiting for the Lord to provide.
That's awesome,
man. Yeah, it's great. And I know Dave and I talked about it. Like, that is, when you look at that story, it's such a picture. It's such a, and you and I just talked about this a couple days ago, David, a picture of Christ, a picture of the sacrifice of God the Father and God his Son. You know, so
it really is a powerful project, yeah.
Yeah, so Paul and I had an honor to watch an early cut of this movie some months ago, and we were really moved by it. I know I was, Paul, too, right?
Yeah. Oh, there's no doubt about that. I think it speaks and presents the power of God and really speaks to obedience and how this man was able to obediently serve God in the most difficult possible situation ever.
Yeah, and David, like that, yeah, what do you think people will take away? I know you're close to the project. I mean, you lived with it for a couple of years. What do you think people will take away from this film?
Well, you know, so like I said, the last 3.5 years as I've worked on this film, it has been the darkest and really the most heartbreaking season of my life. And I know with everything going on in the world, most of us are hurting. But the Lord has been very gracious in allowing me to spend so much time with his friend Abraham, and being able to see that in Abraham's trial, the Lord was very present, and it was for a very good purpose. So with this film, yes, I hope many people are saved by the going forth of the gospel that is in this film. But for my brothers and sisters that are already his, I hope this film brings such a comfort and the reminder that in our hurt, in the waiting, and in the long suffering, that the Lord is here. He is very present. He is God with us, and his purpose for the trial, whatever our trial is good. It's always good.
Yeah. So unfortunately, we just have a couple more minutes. So, Brad, let our listeners know what they can do now to partner with this film to get it going. Besides, obviously, we need to pray, don't we?
That's right. No, perfect timing. Pray, yes, Robbie. Amen, Robbie. Yes. Be praying for this movie. And what your listeners can do is we've set up through our Christian Film Finishing Fund at KappaStudios.com. People can make a tax-deductible donation. So basically, here's how it works. Films can cost hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars. But as Paul was mentioning earlier, this particular title and many others are just a little short. And just to be totally transparent, David's like $24,000, $25,000 short. And so we've set this up where people can make a tax-deductible donation to help David and advance the kingdom through his film. So through this, if people contact us, can we send them a trailer for your movie?
Yeah, absolutely. Please do.
Okay. So check this out. Your listeners, Robbie, they can go to KappaStudios.com. They can contact us. We'll send them an exclusive trailer for His Only Son, as well as more info, and people can make a tax-deductible donation to help Robbie get to the finish line, and you will truly be adopting this dear brother to see his film get to the finish. And we have many more to come, but on this day, we certainly wanted to focus on David. So, Robbie, you are a blessing, and we are just thrilled to be able to serve Christ in this way, to see film and television shows get into the culture.
Right.
And guys, there's just one more thing I want to say. This film in particular, and many others like it, need to go out in the churches and all across the country, and this is the way it gets done. This is how a film gets out. First, we have to finish it, and then let's get it out everywhere so people can invite their neighbors and there can be a gospel and evangelistic opportunity.
Absolutely. Again, the name of the film is His Only Son, and you can find that at Kappas, K-A-P-P-A, studios.com, the Christian Film Finishing Fund. And let me just say that story about Abraham and Isaac, like we always do a Passover Seder every year, and we slaughter the sheep. And so I've held the knife and slaughtered a sheep. And when you do that, you get a sense that, you know, Abraham had slaughtered a bunch of sheep. And he held that knife, you know, that day. And it's something that you really have no understanding of how God could possibly have been the one that he actually made the cut, where Abraham fortunately never did. And you know, what a powerful message. His Only Son. Again, go to KappaStudios.com. Brad, thank you, guys. Thank you, David. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Robbie. Appreciate it. Love you, Robbie.
Love you, too.
Way to go, brother.
God in Hollywood. And thank you for listening. You guys make all the difference in listening to the Truth Network. Now, stay tuned. You got encouraging prayer followed by a masculine journey if you're in Winston-Salem. And then Nikita Koloff. It's time to man up with the devil's worst nightmare. Stay tuned.
This is the Truth Network.